WPFW Studios and airs Fridays at 1 p.m. on WPFW Washington.
Welcome to The Collision.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash, Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW Washington, D.C.
I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And welcome to Heal DC. Today is Monday, August 5th, 2024. This is Joni with you for the hour. Today we are giving a special salute to Justice Warrior, recent ancestor, Keith Silver. You'll be hearing about him for the hour with three special guests. First, our own Ron Pinchback. Second, our own Johanse Gregory. And last but not least, Mark Thompson. So we will be right back with you after a quick announcement. I'm going to jump into the announcement now. I wanted to let people know that our usual co-host, Chuck Kick's mom, passed on Thursday in Bogalusa, Louisiana. We will be hearing more about her in the months and weeks and years to come. She was the wife, of course, of Chuck's dad, who was Robert Hicks, the founder of Deacons for Defense in Bogalusa, Louisiana. She did a lot in Bogalusa, and her homegoing service will be this Friday in Louisiana. So folks who know Chuck, send him your prayers and thoughts. He was also featured in the Southwest newspaper this week, so you can check him out as well there. So we want to welcome you to this tribute to Keith Silver. Let me say we're going to be hearing from three people during part one of this broadcast, where we're going to give some highlights about Keith. And then later, we're going to move into a part two about the lessons that Keith is leaving us and what we think he would like to continue to do in the struggle for freedom. I'll introduce two people that many of you know. Of course, Ron Pinchback can be heard every Friday at 11 a.m., has been with the station for many decades, at one point was a general manager, and grew up with Keith Silver in Southeast D.C. So we're glad that Mr. Pinchback will be with us for the first segment. We are also joined by Johanse Machibela, who is Dick Gregory's youngest son, and will be speaking with us throughout the hour as well. Johanse, I think in the future, may be starting his own podcast with Ayana, but we'll see. We look forward to that. And I also want to give a special introduction to Reverend Mark Thompson, who many of you know, but some of you may not, Reverend Machibela. He is a native Washingtonian, now lives in New York City. He has a master's degree in divinity from HU, from Howard, studied mass media at UDC, and many of us remember his organizing way back in the day in UDC. He has spent over 30 years as a radio broadcaster, including at Sirius XM, satellite radio, and Urban One Media. He now hosts a podcast, Make It Plain, an award-winning political Human Rights and Breaking News podcast, which I had a chance to listen to an excellent session he just did last week. Mark has spent most of his life as a political, civil rights, and human rights activist and organizer. And I know him, and many of you may know him as well, as a close friend of the Dick Gregory family. And we spent a little more time giving Mark an introduction because he hasn't been on the radio with us too much, so we want to make sure everybody knows about him. Let me start then with Reverend Monty Miller, Mark Thompson. Tell our listeners who may not know Keith, or those who do, some of your initial comments about our recent ancestor, Keith Silver. And welcome. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Joni, and thank you for having me. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, great.
Oh, good. Glad to have you. Good morning to you, my brother Yohanse. Yeah, you know, Keith was everywhere. We had movement, especially in Washington, D.C. Now, he had a history even outside of D.C. with the SCLC, but Keith was always involved and always of service, especially to Dick Gregory in his later years. Wherever you saw Dick, you saw Keith. He was a servant as well to the Rolock family, both Calvin W. and Wilhelmina Rolock. In fact, I told a story at his homegoing about a situation we had where he recruited me to do something for Wilhelmina Rolock that none of us were qualified to do, but we did it anyway. So Keith was great. And one of the things he prided himself in, you know, and you know, we always think that we take these things for granted as if they're not important or they're small things. But Keith loved to make banners for the movement. Every march we did, everywhere we went, he loved to have a banner and to make a banner. And that's what he did. And he prided himself on that. And that was something that people said, well, you know, banner, okay, we got a banner. But when we look back on those types of contributions, they made a difference. They had to do with our communication, our solidarity, our unity, our stepping out there and stepping forward for the things that we believed in. Keith was a good brother. His transition was a shock. Really, I think barely a year ago, we buried another comrade of his who was his right-hand man, Lawrence Harris. And Lawrence was with me when we founded the Umoja Party in Washington, D.C., the last ballot status black political party in America, in the United States. And so Keith is someone who will be missed. His dedication, and I'll just say this, and then I'll hand it over to Yohanse. This Keith's funeral was probably my 10th or 11th in the past month. Mm. A lot of people passed away. First of all, with my grandaunt, who was 98 years old, my father's sister in Memphis, who was a legendary school teacher in Memphis, but also simultaneously at the same time, the funeral of James Lawson, who was the greatest teacher of nonviolence in history. And I think we have Lawson and Keith Silver have something in common. They understood the priority of movement organizing, the priority of struggle, and the detail. We have a lot of folks today who are involved in movement, air quotes, and everybody's marching, everybody's in the streets. We can go back to George Floyd and see that. But in terms of long-term protracted struggle with benchmarks and demands and forced negotiation, that's what James Lawson taught. And that's what Keith grew up in and cut his teeth in and became a man in. We need to get back to that. You know, we can't complain when certain things aren't happening the way we're happening. We can't complain when the Democratic Party isn't doing everything we wanted to do on Gaza, when we've not had a dedicated, meticulous, and detailed strategy to make them do what we want them to do. Just having a march for march's sake, or for that matter, shutting down a campus for shutting down a campus sake, is not enough. And we need to study, learn, understand, and get back to the strategy in our struggle, right down to the banners and who makes them. So God bless our brother Keith. We will miss him. We are excited now to call his name as a beloved and sacred ancestor.
Thank you, Mark Thompson. And Mark, tell us about your name, Matsimela.
Matsimela Mafumo was a name given me in 1994 when I went to South Africa for the first ever democratic elections. And Matsimela Mafumo means firmly rooted soldier. I've been ever since then trying to live up to the name. So hopefully by the time y'all get ready to say goodbye to me in this earthen realm, you will be able to say that I did live up to it. I pray.
And thank you. You are a firmly rooted soldier indeed. Okay, let's jump into greeting Yohanse Makibela. And of course, then we'll go to Ron Pinchbeck. Good morning, Yohanse.
Good morning, Joni. Peace, and thank you for always having me here. It's a pleasure, as always, to be in the august company of Brother Matsimela and Baba Ron Pinchback. So it's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, and we're very happy to have you, and we hope to have you on more coming into the future. So, of course, you were very close to Keith, partially because your dad and Keith were somewhat inseparable. But tell the listeners who might not know, or many who don't know Keith Silver, some of the highlights from your perspective.
Sure. So I want to hit on two things. First, I want to pick up on the point that Matsimela ended with. There's a couple of workshops that I do with local grassroots organizations, and I always remind folks that this system, for lack of a better term, that we're fighting against has never been and will never be one that's based in the things that we hold up, right? This is the name of your show, To Heal DC. It's not based in healing. It's not based in peace. It's not based in love. You know, a great brother who you had as a co-host several times many years ago, Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr, I recently heard him talking about, I forget what the situation was, but he said, in looking at the so-called foundation upon which America was born, which, you know, the pursuit of freedom and liberty and all of that, and the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, all of those things. And he said, anybody who has studied American history for more than 15 seconds understands that all of that is aspirational at best, right? And so when we understand that and we realize, okay, how, as Matsimela was talking about, what does real struggle look like? What does real victory look like? We've got so many folks that from the outside looking in think, okay, all I've got to do is, you know, somebody was murdered by police state violence on Monday. All we've got to do is go out on the streets on Tuesday and boop, voila, you know, this bill emerges overnight. And then I can go back to getting in the club and, you know, watching my game and this, that, what have you. Absolutely, it doesn't work like that. Every second along the way, anything that we've ever won and that we've had to maintain involves struggle behind the scenes. That's what Keith Silver embodied. When we talk about his relationship with SCLC, and particularly with the King family, and absolutely his relationship with my father, that's another aspect of struggle that folks don't understand. And my father was very particular in talking about this. Dick Gregory became a name in the civil rights movement because Dick Gregory was the Dave Chappelle, the Jay-Z, the Will Smith of his time. he was the big name black entertainer that could draw a crowd, right? Because let's be honest, if you know any of these activists that we all work with call for a demonstration tomorrow against any, you pick the number of atrocities that are going on against our people, you may get a couple hundred, maybe a thousand. However, if Beyonce, if we were to say on that same demonstration that Beyonce would be there, that, you know, Jay-Z would be there, that Drake would be there, it would be the hundreds of thousands. So Dr. King, as we talk about, Dr. King was a master tactician. He understood that. You know, Medgar Evers, again, Malcolm, all of these folks understood the different components. So Dick Gregory was the entertainer. And it got to a point as well, Dr. King was that outside force that was coming in. However, in order for them to be effective in the work that they were doing, there had to be a road already built, right? Dr. King didn't get called in until there was incredible work that had already been done at the grassroots level. Same thing with my father and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
That work was done by the Keith Silvers. There couldn't be a Dr. King. There couldn't be a Dick Gregory. There couldn't be a Medgar Evers without the Keith Silvers. The thousands of brothers and sisters whose name you've never heard of, whose name won't be appear in any national or global history book, but who are those day in, day out, not weekend foot soldiers, not once in an issue lifetime foot soldiers, but those dedicated foot soldiers who were not only willing, but as Monty Mailer mentioned, able to, that were trained, that understood what true organizing looked like, what the steps you have to follow. And then when the celebrity left, what has to be done afterwards to maintain that momentum and keep that pressure on. Keith was probably one of the most selfless individuals that I know, not just in the movement and the struggle, but firsthand, close up and in person, to see his work, yes, in tremendous support of my father. I mean, there was no more committed and beloved friend to Dick Gregory than Keith Silver. But that was because of his commitment and dedication to the movement and his years of putting in that work, often, and whatever the role called for. So if the role called for to be a foot soldier and stand in support, he was there. But if the road called for him to step into that leadership room, you know, role, Keith rolled around, drove around, ready for action at the drop of a dime. Yes. You know, you would almost think, Monty Mailer talked about the banners that he made on a regular basis. You would almost think he had his banner printing machine in the back of his vehicle, because the second something came up, he would be there at the drop of a dime. And let me share this one story, and then I'll pass along until we come back.
Yeah, because I know Ron Pinchbeck has to leave us soon. So
let me say this. The understanding of how many folks that Keith was accessible to. There was a story that his sister shared with me of a sister who was in real estate. And at the time, she was experiencing incredible discrimination as a black realtor in the area. And she called Keith. And within hours, Keith had my father and several other political figures in DC demonstrating for her. And within a matter of days, she got justice and the retribution for the work that she was doing and the discrimination she was facing as a black female realtor. So that's how accessible Keith was, and that's how dedicated Keith was.
Absolutely.
And I look forward to sharing a little more as we go on.
Absolutely, absolutely. We are honoring Keith Silver, who was a recent ancestor, left us physically July 6th, just a few weeks ago. And we are also, in addition to speaking with Mark Thompson and Johann St. Gregory, we are thrilled to have Mr. Ron Pinchbeck on with us, who has known Keith almost since day one, when you were both very little. Welcome, Mr. Pinchbeck. Tell us about our native Washingtonian from Southeast, Keith Silver.
That's right, from the beautiful Southeast. And Keith and I grew up together in the Sibley Terrace community. of Southeast. And it's about 25 of us young black men who all grew up together. And it was quite a, you know, quite an honor, because community was very, very special to Keith. And he made it a point to be a part of our organization. We had the Shipley Terrace Alumni Association. And we did an annual cookout. You know, we've been doing it now for about 7 years. And it was always, he would always make the banners for the community cookout. And, you know, Keith was a very, very special member, because he would bring up issues and things that, you know, we needed to be concerned about, you know, in our meetings, you know, pointing things out to us. Always supportive, showed up at every cookout, doing his part. And then once again, like I said, he was part of a group of young black men who all grew up together. You know, very, very fortunate. We weren't no gangs, you know, we didn't fight. The closest thing we had to a gang was our little neighborhood football team, of which Keith was the quarterback. And Keith, you know, he was the smallest and slowest guy on the team, but he was such a fierce leader. And you know that old saying, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. Well, mm-hmm. that's Keith. And, you know, he'll bite your ankles, you know, and then smile at you. So, you know, once again, a very, very, very keen brother. And throughout the funeral, throughout his passing, I kept thinking of a poem by Rudyard Kipling. Mm-hmm. The poem is called If, A Father's Advice to His Son. And it's been on my mind ever since his passing, because it embodies the things that Keith represented. So I'm going to take this opportunity to read this poem, because it talks about people like Keith, you know, who contribute a lot, who are dedicated, who work hard, and believe in something other than themselves. This poem, once again, by Rudyard Kipling, is called If, A Father's Advice to His Son. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowances for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired of waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters the same, if you can bear to hear truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things that give your life for broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve to renew and renew your long term after they're gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, not lose the common touch, if neither foe nor loving friends can hurt you, if all can count with you, but none too much, if you can feel the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything in it, and which is more, you will be a man, my son. That embodies Keith. Walked with kings, kept his common touch, kept his virtue, stayed focused. And that's why that poem stuck in my mind throughout the ceremony, throughout his homegoing ceremony. And I wanted to share it with the listeners. So that's, once again, to the Shibley Terrace family, where he grew up. You know, we're going to miss him. And especially at our cookouts, you know, he was always always a ball of energy and we can do it attitude. So, Keith, it's good being with you in your lifetime, my brother. That's all I got to say. And that's my boy.
And thank you, Ron, for sharing. And, of course, Keith's spirit will remain with us, and we're going to be talking about that in our part two. And, of course, we need to lift up, which no one has yet said, that he was a soldier in the fight for D.C. statehood.
Absolutely.
And worked closely with Johnny Barnes and many others for D.C. statehood, helped launch the Martin Luther King annual parade with Denise Rollock Barnes and Stuart Anderson and others. So, Ron Pinchbeck, thank you very much for joining us. And again, you can hear Ron on every Friday, mostly every Friday at 11 o'clock. And thank you, Ron, and for sharing your experience.
Thank you, Johnny, and thanks to the other brothers on the call, because once again, you know, Keith is one of those unsung heroes. Doing the work, you know, not always getting all the credit, but doing the work, and that's what matters. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ron. And again, we are spending the hour in a salute to, I'm not going to call him a fallen hero because his spirit is still with us, Keith Silver, a recent ancestor. We just heard from Ron Pinchbeck. We're spending the rest of the hour with Johanse and Matsimela, Mark Thompson. And as we move into this second segment, we're going to be looking at what would Keith want us to be doing? What will his spirit be telling us as we move into this future? And, of course, the coming weeks, months, years will be, of course, a challenging future, and we want to keep his wisdom with us. Before we move into this segment, we're going to play a special piece from, I'm going to call her our own, Ayanna Gregory, very much a part of the WPFW family. Of course, is the sister of Johanse, the good friend of Mark Thompson, and she performed, she sang a week ago Saturday, I think that was July 27th, at a special event convened by Harriet's Wildest Dreams in recognition of the horrific murder of Sonia Massey, and she's going to be singing this song, these words, for us to remember the ancestors. So let's hear from our own Ayanna Gregory.
We are the ones we've been waiting for.
We are the ones we've been waiting for.
No more waiting now.
No more waiting now.
We are. Liberation, revelation, elevation, elevation. We are, we are,
we are, we are.
Hey, yeah, 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 yeah.
Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. We are unstoppable. We are unbreakable. It's already done, y'all.
tune into the spirit realm, because our ancestors are waiting to be called on, because they know that this is such a powerful time. You don't know the time you're in while you're in it. These are the times, these times that we're living in right now. These are Olympic times for the spirit. So call on the ancestors, fortify yourself, breathe. Don't forget to smile and laugh with the babies and listen to the babies and watch them pour into you and teach you what's really important. Because their world is dying and the real world is what we're standing in. Mother Nature is the real world. Keep your feet on the ground. Help a tree. Help yourself. Get free. Because it's now. Everybody put one hand to the sky and look towards the sky and call on the blessings. Call on the blessings. Call out a word, any word that you want into this space. Freedom.
Liberation.
Healing.
Joy.
Justice.
Justice.
And miracles.
Miracles.
I want it.
I want it.
And of course, that was our own Ayanna Gregory performing or singing or sharing a week ago Saturday at a special vigil for Sonia Massey, convened by Harriet's Wildest Dreams, another inspiring group of sisters. Abolitionists, we're very proud of Harriet's Wildest Dreams and all they are doing. But let's join with back to our guests, Mark Thompson and Yohanse, about picking up from where Ayanna left off of what spirit, what are some of the lessons and the things we should be thinking about that Keith would want us to keep on doing in the upcoming weeks, months, and years? Not to mention our other ancestors. We each have our own ancestors. I know I listen to my mom and my dad telling me what needs to be done, but of course we also have our own Dick Gregory, who left us August 17th, a few years back. But let's start back with Mark Thompson, Monsimela. Share with us what are some of your thoughts about how Keith might guide you and us as we navigate through these, I'll say perilous, challenging weeks and months and years ahead.
Well, Keith, too, was tireless and selfless. He lived a life as a dedicated freedom fighter. And we need more people like that. If every day we spend not doing something toward our own freedom and liberation, we ultimately are participants in the ongoing system that Yohanse described. And I would even say something I've been saying more and more lately. When we look at a lot of the things that we face as individuals and within families and relationships, a lot of the internal stress and conflict and depression even, that we have to overcome as people every day. I have always argued that a lot of the things we internalize and take out on our loved ones is because we don't stop for a minute and think about the problems we have result from the system we're living under. Your loved ones aren't here to hurt you. I'm not here to hurt you. Joni's not here. Yohanse, no one, the system that we are living under is what is harmful to each of us. And so when we don't spend some time every day confronting that in whatever way we do it, even if it's just sharing a social media post that recites the facts about the institutionalized and systemic isms we face, when we don't do that, we tend to take things out on ourselves and on our loved ones, you know, because we don't stop and think, wait a minute, what is going on here? Why is it that I'm not able to achieve the successes I feel I deserve to achieve? Is it because of me? Is it because of my lack of motivation? Is it because someone isn't giving me what I need or loving me enough, or a loved one isn't supporting me? If we're not lazy, we peel back the layers and say, wait a minute, there's some things going on here that are preventing it. You know, someone I know recently was talking to me about opening up a holistic health business and a storefront, and was frustrated with their loved ones because they felt that like their loved ones weren't giving them all they need. I said, well, it's really not about your loved ones. And this person never heard of a food desert. So you realize that there are some communities that don't even have a place to go get something to eat, let alone a health food store or something holistic. So you're going to do all of these things. If we're going to be about these things, we got to take on the demons that prevent us from being our greatest selves. That's what Keith did. And Keith didn't do it for glory. He wasn't one of these clout chasing activists. You know, we've got these celebrity activists now. But celebrity activists oftentimes don't get into the strategy. And let me just say this. If we were disciplined about what we were doing, police violence would end. You know why? Because we would struggle for it locally. Police are governed locally, just like school boards, just like boards of election. But it's hard to build local struggle on the ground with pressure and accountability if all you're doing is posting stuff on Instagram. Keith got hands dirty. Some of us need to get our hands dirty. And that may not mean glory. In local struggle, you don't always get the coverage and the TV time and the popularity because it's in a smaller space. But Dr. King began in a little town called Montgomery. If Dr. King were alive today, what would people say? It's, oh, man, you need to get you an Instagram account and get you some likes and get verified and get, you know, some shares. Like that would be the definition of success today. No, it's not. It is doing what Keith Silver did. Never being too proud. Somebody used the word this morning, Johan said, I haven't heard in a long time. Never being too proud, never being so sadiddy. Y'all know what that means, WPFW. That family. That you too good to get your hands dirty. Make a damn banner. Make a flyer. Pass out a flyer. Don't become self-congratulatory activists. That's what Keith was about. Keith may never have a building or a street named after him, but he did something even greater. He taught us how to be selfless, how to be tireless, how to be humble in the work that we do.
Absolutely. And you reminded me, Mark, of his sister who, after Dr. King said, I guess they were going to do the boycott, the sister, I believe, I'm not sure was her name, Joanne Robinson, she took a flyer made on a mimeograph, printed out 5,000 copies, went single-handedly up and down the houses and apartment buildings to make sure that folks knew that bus boycott was going to start Monday morning. And she reached way over 5,000 people. So she is in that spirit of Keith Silver for sure.
When was the last time we had the discipline to stop doing something for a whole year? To literally shut something down. But, you know, we'll march. We'll do marches with no demands, though. Our marches have become displays of emotion. And, of course, we had a right to mourn and show emotion. But where is the pressure? Stop the police in your local. I lived in D.C. I worked in D.C. We established the Civilian Complaint Review Board, the Office of Civilian Complaints, that exists now because of pressure. There's no documentary, no HBO documentary about that, but we got it done. That's the lack of glamour in local struggle. And some of us need to be disciplined to do that in some of our locales. Miles for Liberty shows up at school board meetings. We don't show up at school board meetings. That's not glamorous. That's not sadity. But we need to be about that. That's what Keith was about. That's what he was doing.
Absolutely. And it's also called organizing and strategizing, a very key that is often put on the back burner. Johanse, first tell us about your name.
Certainly. So, you know, my parents named me Johanse, which means God's gift, and interesting connection with Batsimela. I always knew for some time that I wanted to reclaim an African last name. And it just so happened that when I was in high school, one of the teachers in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, was an exile from South Africa. And one thing people don't know is that in the early 90s when I was going down the road of changing my name. My father actually helped me to try to, for us to research our blood family last name, but we didn't get back across the Atlantic. And I didn't just want to randomly pick a name. And so I ended up taking on the last name of the Makubela family, which had become truly my second family. And that was my professor from high school. And to this day, still as close as family as all of my blood families. So,
wow.
And Makubela means progress. And it's a Xhosa name from South Africa.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. So what else would you like to share about Keith and the marching orders or the wisdom that he is leaving us to keep on keeping on?
Yeah, I think really is tapping into those marching orders. When people ask me, they ask me a lot for my father, you know, if your dad was here today, what would he say? And I never answer that question as such because I'm hesitant to speak for someone else, particularly when they did so much. And the same goes for Keith. I don't have to speak for Keith. I can just point and direct you to look at what Keith did, right? Because chances are what Keith would do today is the same thing he was doing the week before he died, the same thing he was doing last year, the same thing he was doing weeks ago and years ago, which was continuing, as Monty Mela pointed out, that effort and that work, not just the glamorous, but the day in, day out work. One of the things we also talked about, you know, we talked about him being part of the SCLC for years and getting that rooting in that training there. For him being a diehard fighter within for the DC fight for statehood. But Keith was also an ANC, right? And so that lines up perfectly with Monty Mela was talking about being involved locally, right? And so when we look at issues like the next iteration, I won't even say the Sonya Massey issue, because the next iteration of state violence against an oppressed group, Keith was on the front line of fighting those local issues that affected not just our overall liberation, but our day in, day out quality of life. If there were restaurants or stores in our community, not owned by community members, that were treating that were treating members of our community poorly, you know, we talk about Monty Mela talked about the food desert as an example. You know, why is there a food desert? Because the reality of it is, most of the proprietorships that are operating in Black and brown communities are not owned by the residents of those communities. And so they don't see their work as anything, anyway, related to providing a service, but simply to extract the maximum wealth for the minimum effort, right? That's what goes about creating the circumstance. Guess what? There was no food desert in Black Wall Street. There was no food desert in Rosewood. You know, there was no food desert in Idlewild at times when we would think that we had far less and were fighting far more from an oppressive system in the 50s and 30s and 20s and even the 1910s. Yet, why? Because those systems were controlled and those businesses were controlled by the residents of those communities. So Keith was, and being an ANC, he had his finger on the pulse of what was going on in the community. And even afterwards, even after being an ANC, he counseled and advised many elected officials. Anytime that I had something in any way tied to Ward 8, he and me was like, oh, hold on, Yahante. And within a second, he'd have council member Trayon White on the line. And not just the connection, but saying, hey, Trayon, you need this. Dick Gregory's son obviously knew, he said, but you need to help him with this. Or there was a particular issue with a beloved school that was in danger of being closed, that Keith connected Trayon through a call to Keith and had Trayon, the council member, involved on that. And every time I would talk to Keith, he would say, first, hey, what's going on with that issue? And is this, and not just the council member, but he would have all the ANCs, not just the ANC for where that school was located, but the ANCs that represented all the students that fed into that school. That's the kind of, you know, when Monty Mela talks about showing up at school board meetings, that's the kind of work that Keith put in day in, day out. So when we talk about this larger issue of police violence, well, guess what? A demonstration alone is not going to change it unless we as a community fight for changing the way that policing is done in our community. And it can't just be buzzwords, because as we see now and the on the national stage, when we say defund the police, people have twisted that into a dirty word that makes it seem like you're not for the safety of our community. Actually, it's the exact opposite of that. Because when we say that word, what we're talking about is taking the resources that all get dumped into a one-stop shop, the police station, and actually putting them where they are best, where they can be best utilized for public safety. The average police officer isn't trained to be a social worker. The average police officer isn't trained to be a school teacher. The average police officer isn't trained to be a mental health professional. But yet, when we make that call to 911, it all goes into one place, right? When we talk about defunding police, it means that we're directing the resources to actually keep our community safe into the agencies that employ the individuals that actually do the work that best, you know, accomplishes that end. And that's 1,000% a local issue, as Monty Miller hit the nail on the head on. And that's the work that Keith, more than anything else, you know, because, you know, in addition to his work nationally with SCLC, Keith also had a long history of working with Eddie Hendricks of the Temptations, right? So Keith did this work globally, not just nationally, but globally. But his most fervent work was at the local level, at the community level. And so if we want to hold up the spirit of Keith Silver, if we want to emulate and bring about the change that he spent his entire adult life working on, then we've got to put on our boots, right? Put on our gloves and be willing to go there and do the dirty but necessary work. You know, we talk about the Eddie Hendricks, the Dick Gregories, the Walter Fauntleroys, who again, you know, again, the names just keep going on and on of individuals that Keith was closely associated with. Well, guess what? When a Dick Gregory is coming into your town just from doing three other engagements and has a flight in at, you know, maybe 12 noon and then is turning around and has to be at the airport at 10 p.m. and you're in some rural, you know, distant place, how do you think he's getting there? No. Somebody's got to wake themselves up, be willing to make that drive, then turn around and be willing to drive them back in the middle of the night, right? We don't often think about those the practical things that need to happen within a movement. And again, that's something Keith Silver did without batting an eye. And at the same time, understanding that whatever role he needed to step into so that he would do it. And when you look at, you know, if we talk about social media, and, you know, Monty Miller said, you know, when we look at, you know, people looking for likes and followers and this, that, whatever, the average person today, if they were Keith Silver, their page would be full of nothing but celebrity shots with all the celebrities, all the world leaders, from Nelson Mandela to Dave Chappelle to the King family to Muhammad Ali. But none of that was the case because Keith truly was not interested in that. And let me mention one last thing, Joni. You know, some years ago, when the nation was responding and answering the call of Colin Kaepernick, another dear friend, beloved friend of Keith Silver, the attorney Johnny Barnes, began the Take a Knee campaign here in D.C., where every Sunday, on football Sunday, at 12 noon, they would meet in front of D.C. Superior Courthouse and take a knee while they played the national anthem. Who was there making sure that not only the banners were there, that everyone had the email sent out on time, but made up the swag, the attire, because we understand the day that we live in, making those shirts and those sweatshirts, but Keith Silver, Take a Knee, and it was beautifully designed. There's actually a beautiful picture of me wearing that sweatshirt in the middle of the Edmund Pettus Bridge, the last time that John Lewis spoke at the Edmund Pettus Bridge before he passed away. That's the impact of Keith Silver, and that's the work that Keith Silver was always committed to doing. And so if we want to take direction, look at what he did, and you will have all the direction you need.
Yes, Yohante, thank you so much. We're almost out of time. I had to say I had meant to play an Eddie Kendricks song, but I didn't get it together. But I'm glad you talked about Eddie Kendricks. Mark Thompson, give us your final, I hate to say final thoughts for today, but let's hear it.
Well, first of all, Joni, I have been a part of the WPFW family all of my life. The role that this station has played in our DC community has been incomparable. And so it is only at a place like this that we can have these conversations about one of our local loved ones. You know, one of the things, having been in terrestrial radio, worked in terrestrial radio most of my life, when syndication came into being, it was a good thing and a bad thing. The bad part about it was it took a lot of the local flavor out of our conversations, you know. And so WPFW in this space is a place where we can still get on the air and talk to the local DC community and even mobilize the DC community. Keith appreciated that. Keith knew that. In fact, Keith and WPFW were kindred spirits in that regard. We need to preserve that, retain it, keep it alive. So I'm thankful to you. I'm thankful to WPFW for allowing us an opportunity to talk about our good brother. Folk, you know, can always check in here and find it. Just to be clear, so everybody knows my bona fides, I go back to the Bama, y'all. I was a kid listening to the Bama. So y'all know what I'm talking about. You know I know then, if I can say that. So on Sunday morning. So appreciate this time, Joni. Appreciate always being with my younger brother, Johanse. And just thankful for Keith's life, thankful to have known him, and thankful that we were able to walk the earth at the same time, and thankful for his comradeship, thankful for his leadership and the example it sets. You know, it gets kind of lonely out here on the front line. And so when we lose a soldier out here along the barricades, it gets a little bit lonely. And so when we have somebody like Keith who stood for us and stood with us, once his shoulders are no longer with us on earth, we ask God to dispatch those shoulders to be beneath us so we can stand upon them. And so we look forward to standing on Keith's shoulders. And it's up to us, really, to continue to tell the story and the stories about Keith Silver and what he meant. Our people, our city, and our movement. Yes, so God bless
you. Absolutely. And his birthday is coming up, I believe, in early, either late October or early November. So we will perhaps then have a tribute, another tribute to Keith with Joni Barnes, who wasn't here with us today. I want to thank Johanse and Mark Thompson for joining us today to honor our brother Keith Silver. We're going to go out again with John Legend, singing Woke Up This Morning. And the next 2 weeks, WPFW is in our summer pledge drive. So you heard what Mark Thompson just said. We're going to need your support, your pledges to keep this spirit moving forward next Monday and the Monday after that. Thanks to our wonderful engineer, Magic Mike. And again, thanks to Keith Silver and all the ancestors who walk with him to organize and strategize to make this a better world. And Mark and Johan say, maybe I can talk to you for a minute after the show is over. And let's go out again with Woke Up This Morning, which really represents the spirit of Keith Silver.
I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm walking and talking with my mind stayed on freedom. I'm walking and talking with my mind. Stayed on freedom. I'm walking and talking with my mind. Stayed on freedom. Hallelujah. 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 Ain't nothing wrong with keeping my mind.
From Rahsaan Roland Kirk to Asada Shakur, WPFW has been your go-to for cultural and political education since 1977. Your contributions have allowed us to uphold the mission of liberatory media set forth by our founders. August 11th through the 24th presents another opportunity to support WPFW during our summer pledge drive. Donations can also be made anytime at WPFWFM.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Oh, yeah. Hey, friends, we are back again. Mark your calendars. On Saturday, August the 24th, WPFW will host the 15th annual Blues Festival featuring Clarence the Blues Man Turner, Jim Bennett with Jesse Terrell, Stacy Brooks, Low Rent Quartet, Reggie Right Eye, and the Missing Pieces, all at Lamont's Entertainment Complex, 4400 Livingston Road in Indian Head, Maryland. Event time is from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. For more information, go to eventbrite.com and search WPFW. Why, you ask? Because WPFW is building a better world, one broadcast at a time. Believe that.
The 20th anniversary of DC Jazz Fest happens August 28th through September 1st, featuring performances by Samara Joy, Jacob Collier, Stanley Clark, Emmett Cohen, Ron Carter, Diane Reeves, and more. Details at dcjazzfest.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Tune in Tuesday, August 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. for the WPFW Delegate Election Forum to hear from and ask questions to WPFW candidates who are running to represent you on the local station board. For more information and to read candidate statements, visit elections.pacifica.org or call 707-500-1910 to leave a voicemail for the election supervisor.
I testify!
Sophie's Parlor is the original women's radio collective. Wednesdays from 3 to 5 p.m., the best music divas on radio at 89.3 FM and sophiesparlor.blogspot.com.
Albert Hedab returns to WPFW beginning Monday, July 29th, 2 a.m. till 5 a.m. with Music Memories, the best of old school from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Yes, the return of Alvin Nedab on 89.3 WPFW-FM, Monday, July 29th, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Shalimar, War and Too Short. Come to Bethesda Theater in the month of August. More information at BethesdaTheater.com.
Expansions joins WPFW Tuesday, August the 13th at 2 a.m. Hosted by veteran broadcaster Vince Brown, Expansions will feature dance music from around the world, including funk, disco, rock, and world music from the 1970s through the 1990s. Before ending the journey, we'll feature the sounds of jazz,